Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed each week that you take the time to listen to these little seeds of faith. It's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us in person every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. Our location in person is 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Our live stream, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you miss those opportunities to worship with us in person at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, you can always go to our website, our YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. They have our weekly messages, our weekly worship services, and our weekly children's messages. Your children can grow in grace too. As we've been journeying through the Gospel of John, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus. Miracles for you. That's pretty good. Miracles for you. We have looked at the miracle man, a.k.a. Jesus, as he begins to head to Jerusalem and the cross and the tomb and the joy of the resurrection. In the Gospel of John, there are seven miracles. We have looked at four so far, if you've been listening. Do you know that there are seven great I am statements? We looked at one of them last month when we heard when we talked about communion at our church. I'd like to open with these seven great I am statements in the Gospel of John. I just want to read them to you. Faith comes by hearing the word, and hear that Jesus is for you. John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 8:12. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was, I am," John 8:58. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep," John 10:7. "I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come and go out and find pasture," John 10:9. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me," John 10:14. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11:25 and 26. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from Christ, we can do nothing." John 15:4 and then John 14:6, the one we're working on. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, today we turn our minds, hearts, and ears, and eyes yet again to Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, and the town of Bethany. As always, think about where you fit in the story. It was 2 weeks before Easter. Jesus' 3 years of earthly ministry is coming to a close. We have been there as water was turned into wine, as crowds of 5,000 men plus women and children, say 10,000 people, are fed with two fish and five barley loaves. As a man was healed of his illness after 38 years, Jesus now enters a small village called Bethany, just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Let us pray before we go to God's Word. Father God, every Sunday we gather and we remind ourselves of the story of your one and only Son, Jesus. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate today's story and that we can find ourselves traveling with Jesus. Father, the world is hurting for the truth, hurting for your love, and searching for your peace. Be with us as we pause today. Be with us as we listen to these living words of life. Do a miracle in us today. Open the story and let us find out how this story from long ago is still alive in us today. John chapter 11. 1 to 44. Faith comes by hearing the word. My prayer is that God will speak to you in the word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Look, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and yet when he heard that Lazarus is sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, but for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night when he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will be better." Jesus had been speaking of his death. His disciples thought he meant a natural sleep, so then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again, Martha." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" Well, last week we learned how important it is for us to take a 10,000-foot heavenly view from where we are in the middle of difficult situations. Often we cannot see the forest or the trees. Honestly, when we find ourselves deep in the forest of life, it's time to rise above, bring our situation to God, and try to see our lives from God's perspective. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Sometimes it looks like God is missing the mark because we are too short-sighted to see what he is aiming at." That's a good line. Our first point for today centers around our wanting and God working. Do you know that the interval between our wanting and God working is called waiting? Martha and Mary were wanting Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus. God is working. They were waiting for Jesus. Jesus waited 4 days and Lazarus dies. Sometimes when we feel like we are in a holding pattern, it may be that God is getting ready to do something more miraculous than that for which we could ever hope for. Family and friends had gathered at Martha and Mary's house in order to grieve with them over the loss of their brother Lazarus. The custom of the day was that the mourners would stay for a week, weep, wail, and comfort the sisters over their loss. Martha and Mary had sent for Jesus, but Jesus delayed. When Jesus does arrive, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. We are told that as Jesus approached the village of Bethany, Martha ran to meet him. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Jesus were good friends. Good friends. They hung out together. Remember the dinner party they threw for Jesus? The one where Martha was upset with her sister because Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet and was not doing any of the work. Martha took Jesus aside and tried to get him to straighten Mary out. Oh, Martha, 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 only one thing is needful. Mary is choosing the better portion. What a great line. Martha is on the lookout for Jesus. She sent for him 4 days ago, and she knows he's coming. When she sees Jesus, she beelines it straight for him. Can you see her now? Martha is now in the kitchen cooking. Martha's not in the kitchen cooking quail over the fire, baking bread or frosting the bread. No, Martha has learned well from her time hanging out with Jesus. She has finally learned to choose the better portion, like her sister Mary. She has heard Jesus was on his way, and she has gone out to scan the horizon. Cleaning, cooking can wait. Martha has bigger fish to fry today. In my mind's eye, I see Martha running to Jesus, embracing him, crying on his shoulder. If only you had been here, if only you had been here, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha is stuck in with her grief, but she also remembers who Jesus is. And as she weeps, she says, but I know, I know, I know, I know, I know that not even God, that even God will give you whatever you ask. John 11:22. Even now. I underline those words in my Bible. Even now, I like to say that. Even now, God, even now. Powerful words of faith, Martha proclaimed. Even now, even when it seems that God is 4 days late, it is still it's still too soon to give up. Most miracles take longer than we want. But the longer we wait, the more we appreciate them. I hope your miracle does not take 38 years like the unnamed lame man at the pool when Jesus healed him. But if it does, wait. What does Jesus do now? Jesus comforts Martha by telling her that her brother will rise again. Well, Martha agrees. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'm talking about miracles, and we love the miracle of prayer. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the icon for prayer. List your prayer concern, because God is God of miracles. You can always email me if you have questions or prayer. You can go to email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and I'll respond to you. What does Jesus do when he's confronted by Martha? Jesus comforts Martha by telling her that her brother will rise again. Martha agrees with Jesus and says he will rise on the resurrection of the last day. Jesus knows what lies ahead of him. Palm Sunday, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And he's not about to leave this resurrection thing alone. He pushes the envelope just a little bit further and says to Martha these powerful words that echo throughout history. Martha, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Personally, this great I am statement has been a life changer for me. In February of 1996, I was sitting in Atlanta at a pastor's Promise Keepers conference. What a powerful time of worship I had shared with 42,000 pastors. The speaker shared on this statement, I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe this? As I sat in the audience, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and I started to journal about this promise. When I was 12, my oldest brother was killed. He was 16. I understand Martha well. Lord, if only you were here, my brother would not have died. I was not, at this pastor's conference, I was 40 years old. And I had many years of wrestling with my brother's death. I had struggled with my mom turning to alcohol and my dad disappearing into his work. And here I was at this pastor's conference. I was in my second year of seminary and our finances were depleted. I was questioning my call to ministry. Here is a part of what I wrote that night in Atlanta in 1996. Lord, God, heal my brokenness. Give life to the areas in my life that I have shut off and shut down. I ask and pray that you, Lord, would watch over my wife and children as I'm away from them. Lord, search my heart and heal me. Check out my ways and clear my thoughts. I give you my life. The words that John, the words from John haunted me here at that conference. Do you believe? Do you believe? For Martha, it was not a dinner party anymore. Her brother had died. Martha knows the one thing that is needful in her life. Jesus, she responds, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Right here, right now, we need to put ourselves into this story. Do you believe? Martha has the right answer. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are the one coming into the world. Whatever it is that you're struggling with today, no matter how big or small, the question remains the same. Do you believe? Martha runs back home to tell Mary that Jesus is calling her. Mary falls at Jesus' feet. His sisters, one heartfelt cry, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Point one for today. While we are wanting, God is working. While we are wanting, God is working. Wait. As I sat in the bleachers at that pastor's conference back in 1996, I had no other choice before me. I was halfway through seminary. I had committed to a 3-year degree. So what? Our savings was gone and we had no money. Between my wife and I, we had 4 jobs beside full-time seminary. We could pay the mortgage. The real question was, Dave, do you believe? Dave, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Dave, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe I called you into seminary? Do you think I can provide for you and for your family? I had a hard time. Sometimes miracles seem to happen instantaneously, like water being turned into wine or like a little boy's lunch turning into a fish fry for thousands. But sometimes miracles wait, like the man who tried to get into the pool of Siloam for 38 years. I do not know where you are today, but I do know that in our want, God is working. Wait. The key word is not the miracle. The key point in our answer to Jesus in that great I am statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, period. Next sentence, do you believe this? Back in Atlanta in 1996, I restated my belief in this whole story. It was a long time ago. I still have wants. God is still working. And I'm still waiting, but I have seen miracle after miracle in my ministry and in my life. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The word translated was deeply moved in the Greek comes from an ancient Greek word that describes, well, a horse snorting. When taken in this context, it implies that our Lord let out an involuntary gasp. The wind went out of Jesus. Can you enter into that story? When Jesus saw all of these people weeping over his good friend, he became greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus had been reunited with Martha and Mary. He saw their sorrow, their grief, and Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. What happens next? When Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. It speaks volumes. Jesus burst into tears. It tells us how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus wept. Friends, we have a God who feels what you feel. When we weep, Jesus weeps with us. In our want, God is working. Wait. In our weeping, God weeps with us. Wait. My wife and I had recently experienced a season of grief. 6 family members and 2 best friends all died within 648 days. Our 2 dads, a mom, a brother, a nephew, an uncle, and 2 best friends. We want it to all go away. We want to be done with grief. Yet in our want, God is working. We are waiting. In our weeping, Jesus weeps with us. God has never left us nor forsaken us. Right here in this story of Lazarus, we have not even gotten to the good part yet. We are told Jesus wept. Right here in this story, we are told that Jesus enters into our story, and when we weep, Jesus weeps with us. Wow. Where are you in this story? Where are you in your wanting? Where are you in your waiting? When in our wants, you know, we ask God, God, can you do this? God, can you do this? God, please do this. And we want God to act. And yet in that time of wanting, God is working. Mary and Martha called for Jesus to come, and Jesus waited 4 days. Lazarus is dead. Sometimes miracles, you know, they just seem to happen. And we see the miracles in the Gospels. But sometimes the miracles, we have to wait. We have to wait while God's working. Another thing that really struck me this week is, and especially since my wife and I have experienced so many family members, you know, my dad, her mom, my brother, a nephew we were really close with, an uncle, and two really, really good friends. One, both of them, you know, I would call them really my best friends, passed away. And I know there are many here that know what it means to grieve and to lose a loved one. And my prayer is that you'll come to know that Jesus is working while we're waiting. And then Jesus weeps. He weeps with us when we weep while we wait. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where you're at in your life. But every week I get the opportunity to speak hope and love and peace into your lives. And my prayer is that you'll come to know this love of God, this deep, deep love of God, that you'll know that God will never leave you, that God will never forsake you, that God is for you and not against you. He hears your wants, and He is working. God is working, and He wants to do a work in your life. And listen, when you're grieving and weeping, I believe that God weeps with us. And we wait. We wait for His miracles. If you need prayer, please email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. If you need someone to speak to, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship.com. I don't want you to be alone. I want you to know there is hope, because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I learned at the age of 12, when my brother was there in the casket, to believe. And that belief forever changed my life. Believe that Jesus lives. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your grace. We give thanks for your life. We know that you're working while we're waiting. We know that you weep when we weep. Be with us this week and show us your grace and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and wait on the Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.